We enjoy that. Let's give them another hand for all their along with everybody else that's behind the scenes, all the guys and gals back here in the sound booth trying to make everything work right. If you know anything about technology, it's always a joy when it finally comes off, at least pretty much the way we want it to. So thank you back there in the sound booth. Everybody else that had a hand in this, let's give them one more hand and thank them for that. The cantata this morning, they sang about Easter as a moment in time that changed history. I really like that line. There are probably only a few moments in history that truly changed the history of planet Earth. One of those was clearly Easter, now about 2,000 years ago. The cantata was referring, of course, to that moment on the cross that the Lord Jesus gave up his life and died for you and I. That moment in history, I would argue, altered the course of planet Earth. It truly changed history forever. That moment in time had ramifications that probably were not understood at that moment, but they're ramifications that continue to impact planet Earth today. The land where Jesus lived, the land where he walked, to this day, is a focal point for planet Earth. Battles are being waged all over this planet because of what happened at that time. Today, interestingly enough, much of the world follows a calendar that's all centered on the life of the one that the choir was singing about this morning, the one who died on the cross. Every time we write 2016, we're reminding ourselves of he is the center of history as far as planet Earth is concerned. To this day, it always amazes me that to this day there are those who use his name when they really want to make a point, swearing in the name of Jesus, even though they refuse to believe in him. Every time they swear using his name, they don't realize they are affirming he is the center of all of history. Others hate Jesus, and they hate those who follow Jesus. And they do all they can to destroy his followers. We can watch it on television today. We can see them beheading those who claim to follow Christ. It amazes me to this day the hatred demonstrated at times towards the life of Jesus and how it has a tendency to really stir up some people, even here in our own country. But according to the Bible, this Jesus was a man who healed the lame. He made the blind to see. He fed thousands of people with just a little lunch bucket. And he died for the sins of the world. Yet he's often hated. They hate him still today, much like some did back during his own life here on this earth. And on goes the list of ways that Jesus in his life truly changed history. It's always interested me and amazed me that in the English language, the word history is really his story. Again, making the point that Jesus in his story is the central point of the history of planet Earth. That moment in time, as the choir called it, that moment in time that they sang about has had more impact on this planet than any other moment in time. And as important and impacting as that moment was, the moment that they sang about, there was another very, very important moment in history that impacted planet Earth just about as much as this moment that we sang about this morning. It's a moment in time that happened long before what we call Easter, long before Easter Sunday. This moment happened way back in history, and it had far, far, far-reaching impact on our planet. Matter of fact, it's this earlier moment that I'm referring to that caused the actual moment that the choir just sang about. And I want to look at that for a moment, for just a few minutes here together before we go. According to the Bible, the choir sang about this. In the beginning, God created the human race and he placed them in a garden. Look what the Bible says all the way back here, all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord planted a garden, the Bible says, in eastward in a place called Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. I like that. Boy, there's a lot of trees that are pleasant to the sight, aren't there? Right now we're enjoying that. They're starting to pop. And boy, does it look good. And come fall time, we'll be eating fruit off some of those. And that'll look really good too. But God planted all of that. And the tree of life he planted in the midst of the garden. And another tree called the knowledge of good and evil. So the Bible's telling us here that long before the moment that the choir sang about, God made a garden and he put the human race in this garden, and it was in a place called Eden. And the Bible is implying here that that garden where God placed the human race had, you might say, everything that humans would need or want. You could say it was a perfect setting. We had all that we would have needed. But there were two special trees, according to the Bible, that God put in that garden. And you saw them there. They're called the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look what the Bible goes on to say. Same chapter, a couple verses later. Then the Lord God took the man, the human race, and he put him in the Garden of Eden. And they were to tend and keep it. And in verse 16, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Sort of have at it. Enjoy everything that I made for you and that I put in this garden. And in verse 17, he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat that tree. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So according to the Bible, we human beings were supposed to believe God, and we were supposed to eat of the tree of life. And if we ate of the tree of life, we would be signifying, well, we believe you, God, thank you. And we're going to do what you told us to do. We're going to eat of the tree of life. But we were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that the time we do that, we would surely die. We would die, and we would be separated from God. Sadly, chapter 3, not too many verses later, my impression is not too much time later, the Bible tells us that human beings ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We disobeyed God, and sure enough, the human race came to know evil, just like God had said. One moment in history that changed the course of planet Earth, and particularly the course of the human race forever. Forever. Human beings now, this Adam guy and his wife and all of his descendants now, had become what the Bible calls sinners. We had now become sinful. We had become disobedient. We had become rebellious. And on goes the list. Of course, we, every single one of us sitting in this room, prove that almost every day of our life, if we could know each other's thoughts. We, sadly, are the descendants of this guy, and we are born sinful, and of course, prove it almost every day of our life as we walk this earth, even as little tykes, punching our little brother, being mean to our little sister, or our big sister being mean to us as little brother, and on and on and on it goes until we're adults, and then the meanness gets way worse. And then you have to have people running around with guns on their sides, special cars, carrying handcuffs to try to control the adults. Really, really sad. And so this moment that we're talking about right now, way back there in history, I would argue was bigger than we can ever imagine. It was truly earth-shattering. It truly changed the course of history. It was a moment in history that led many, many years in history to the moment that the choir was just singing about. You could say this. The cantata made this very clear. You could say this, that a tree bearing the knowledge of good and evil had brought the human race down into sin and rebellion. We were now separated from God, the God that had created us and the God that loved us and the God who had made a special place for us where everything would be taken care of. But now if you go on and continue to read that account, we're outside of that garden. And it's not because God wanted us there, it's because we chose to be there. We chose to eat of the tree of death. You could call that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You could nickname it the tree of death. Because God said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. If they would eat of the tree of life, this would have never happened. But sadly, they turned to the tree of death. And there were, at that point, grave consequences. And I would argue there are today grave consequences to that one act back there in history that changed everything forever. This morning, though, the choir sang about another tree. They alluded to that in their singing. They sang about another tree that changed history forever. It was not the tree of life that was back there in the Garden of Eden, but it was a tree that you could say was going to give life. The tree of life is back in the Garden of Eden, but this tree would give life. This tree was hewn down, and it was shaped into a cross. The choir sang about that. And on that tree now, came the next major historical event that would change history forever. The Son of God had come to earth, the Bible tells us, and he had come to fix the problem that had been created back there in that garden. He had come to fix that problem for us. He had come to pay the penalty of God's wrath for our disobedience, for our sinful ways. That's why he had come. And interestingly, it would require a tree and it would require a death to fix our problem. You could call it a tree of death. So Jesus hung on a tree, paying the penalty for my disobedience, paying the penalty for your disobedience, paying the penalty for our sinful ways. Because God had said from the very beginning, you disobey, it will require death. And so Jesus comes. He comes to pay that death for us. At the moment of his death on the cross, the Bible records, we all know this, right? The Bible is really just a history book. And the Bible records that at the moment of his death, the sky turned dark as Jesus took the wrath of God. Matthew chapter 27 records it for us. Let me read it to you in verse 45 and 46. The Bible says that at noon, darkness fell across the land until 3 o'clock. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means in English, my God, why have you abandoned me? Jesus was taking the wrath of the Father for the sins of the world. That's what the Bible claims. And that's why the sky turned dark in the middle of the day. And that's why Jesus cried out. Note that up until this point in time, he said basically nothing. Yes, he was being tortured, being whipped and beat and spit on. They jammed a crown of thorns on his head, but he said nothing. But when his Father finally turned and poured his wrath out on him because Jesus had taken upon himself the sin of you and I, that's when Jesus finally cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? A history-changing moment had just transpired. Even though almost nobody at the spot at the time realized what was going on, including his disciples who had walked with him for 3 years. They had not caught on what was going on. A few Roman soldiers who were there at the cross realized that something big had just happened. I like what they say here in chapter 50 or 27 of Matthew, verse 54. The Bible says this, that the Roman officer and the other soldiers who were at the crucifixion, they were terrified. I would be too, for it turned dark at noon and stayed dark And there was also an earthquake, the Bible tells us. And all that happened at that moment, and they said this, this man truly was the Son of God. They were right. They were one of the few that were right that afternoon. The Son of God had just paid the death penalty for a disobedient and a sinful human race. He had come and become one of us so he could die for us. He had walked the earth as us, never disobeying his Father, never having touched sin, never having a human father who would have just simply passed sin on to him, like my father passed sin on to me, and like I passed it on to my children. He walks this earth and then climbs on a cross, not having known sin, able to take our sin and pay the penalty of God's wrath. And history would never be the same. Would never be the same again. But there was one more very important moment that would happen 3 days later. The choir sang about it. It's what we celebrate today. The cantata they sang for us was called The Blessed Dawn. 3 days later, at the dawn of the morning, the Bible tells us, the tomb of Jesus was found to be empty. The cantata called it a blessed dawn, a blessed morning. And I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever wondered about this. Have you ever wondered, why is the resurrection of Jesus, why is the resurrection of Jesus such an important event in history? Why is it so important? Was it the mere fact that somebody had come out of the grave alive? Sort of the miracle of it all? Or was there something even bigger going on? Was this something bigger, or was this just some incredible miracle, someone coming back to life? Did the death of this man named Jesus and his resurrection, did it by chance contain something even deeper? How could a death and a resurrection be such a history-changing moment, like the choir called it this morning? Thankfully, the Bible answers all those questions for us. According to the Bible, we don't have time to go look at it all, but according to the Bible, 3 days before the resurrection, Jesus had paid the death penalty for our sin on that cross that we just looked at. But if he had stayed dead, if Jesus had stayed dead, there would be no victory over sin and over death. Sin and evil would have taken him down for good. If he would have stayed dead, it would have signified that God is still not pleased, that this supposed payment of the Lord Jesus really is not sufficient if Jesus had stayed dead. But the choir sang about it. God raised Jesus from the dead. The words the choir used was, he reached down and caused the heart of the Lord Jesus to begin to pump again. We don't know if that's exactly what happened, but we know this, that Jesus raised him from the dead, or that God raised Jesus from the dead. And in that, he was confirming this, that the death that Jesus had just paid was a payment for the penalty of our sin. And get this, better yet, it was accepted by God. That payment was accepted by God. Romans 4 in verse 25 tells us this. Romans 4 in verse 25 says, he was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. I like that verse. Sorry, those of you who were here for the sunrise service. We read that verse just an hour ago. But it's a great verse. I love what it says. Do you grasp what God's saying here? You know, Jesus was not grabbed by the soldiers and dragged off and beaten and crucified. No. Jesus handed himself over. Jesus handed himself over. I like what the Bible says there. He was handed over. God handed him over. Here he is, the Lamb of God, who's come to take away the sins of the world, and make it possible for human beings to be made right before God. God raised Jesus from the dead to confirm for us and to us that the death of Christ would make us right with God. If we would believe what God's saying about that death. If we would believe. Jesus had just conquered sin and death. That's the good news. Jesus conquered sin and death. I can hear my father ringing in my ears, talking about this over and over and over again. And the fact that there is no tomb where you can find the remains of the Lord Jesus. Even though you can find the tomb with the remains of almost every other famous person that ever walked planet Earth. That is what the resurrection was saying. That is why Jesus said this to Thomas, the apostle Thomas, the disciple Thomas, in John 14. The choir sang about this again this morning. Look at this verse in John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way. This is Jesus talking. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody, no one can come to the Father. He's talking about God the Father. No one can come to God the Father except through me. Unless Jesus is a liar, this verse is very, very important. According to the Lord Jesus, God himself walking down here in the flesh, the only way to the Father is through Christ. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth that helps us know the way to the Father. And he's the only one who can give us life because he's the only one who ever conquered death and came back out alive. That's what Jesus is saying here. And the choir was reminding us of that this morning as they sang about the fact that Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the truth. The only one who can give us life. The Bible declares it all over the place. He's the only one who can give us life. He's the only one who can make me acceptable to God. I can't make myself acceptable to God, and no other human being on planet Earth can help me be made acceptable to God. Only Jesus can, according to his word. His death and his resurrection in reality was for us. That's what it was all about. It was for us. And that's why the choir sang those words, if you remember them up on the screen, that hope rose at dawn. You could almost capitalize hope there. Our hope, which is really Jesus, rose at dawn on Easter morning. And our hope of being set free from the penalty of our sin and from the rebellion that we have all exercised towards God. There are probably some sitting here thinking, well, I've never done that. Well, you don't really understand how God thinks about us. You don't really even understand your own actions. Truth be told, every single one of us have been rebellious against God. And we could take a half hour right here and just begin to list some of them if we wanted to take the time. Because as Jesus said, God sees our heart. He knows what we think. He knows the very thoughts of our heart, the Bible says. And therefore, every wrong, sinful act that I have ever committed in just my mind, the Lord Jesus knows all of that. God knows all of that. And God knows all too well how rebellious I am towards him and how rebellious we all are towards him. We are all sinners. We all sin. We all disobey God. And we are all, therefore, under the statement in Genesis that we just read, you shall surely die. But the cross of death that Jesus died on actually became a tree of life. Isn't that fascinating? The cross of death that Jesus died on actually became a tree of life. But get this now. For all of those who will believe. For all of those who will believe. The Apostle John reminds that of us in this probably the most famous verse in the Bible, at least in the English language. John chapter 3 and then verse 16, the Bible says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's referring to that he handed him over, that he gave his only begotten son. And then look what he goes on to say, that whoever will believe in him, believe in him and what he did for us on the cross that the choir just sang about, that those people should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me remind us, your body is not you. Okay, just remember, your body is not you. Like one preacher said, I've always liked it, your body's just your earth suit. It's your earth clothes. It's the clothes we run around in on this planet. The real you lives in your body. And that's what the Bible is referring to here when it says, will not perish. The real you will not perish, separated from God for all of eternity. If, according to this verse, you believe in him and what he did for us on that blessed dawn. You see, the dawn 3 days after the crucifixion confirmed all of this. Jesus was alive from the dead, and the tomb was empty. Sin and death had lost the battle. Sin and Satan and death had lost the battle, and life was victorious. Life was victorious. Jesus had defeated sin and death. Satan was defeated, and we could now have what God calls life. Life with God through Christ. That is what Easter is all about. That's what the choir was singing about this morning. Two, I would argue, of the three greatest moments in history. Moments that changed history forever. Moments that give you and I, a sinful human race, moments that give us hope. Here we are. Don't you like it? 2,000 years later, and we're still remembering it. Of course we are, because this has been good news for every generation since that blessed dawn. That's why we're celebrating it this morning, and I trust that each of us here today have come to church today, particularly today, because we have put our trust, our faith, our belief in the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross 2,000 years ago. It was a payment by God to God for our sin. And 3 days later, hope dawned on Easter morning. Truth and life are now available to you and I if we will believe. As we go away this morning, I trust we're going away thankful for that blessed dawn. That's why we enjoyed listening to those trumpets over there. At least I did. I don't know about you guys. I guess there was a trombone in there too. I like that trombone thing too. That's pretty cool. I can't imagine being able to play that, but I love what comes out of it, especially on Easter morning, because there's just something about that, isn't there, that is sort of blasting at us with those trumpets that just makes you kind of feel a little bit the blessed dawn that happened 2,000 years ago after Christ paid for our sin. Those trumpets, those pictures, that music, I trust, encouraged our hearts with the fact we can be accepted by God, even though we're sinful human beings. We can someday leave this earth suit called our body behind, and when we come face to face with him, we won't have to put our eyes down for fear of even looking at him. I'm suspicious myself. That's what we will do. I'm just suspicious of that. That when we come face to face, we'll have a tendency to want to fall down and bow our heads. But I can just about guarantee you this. If you do that, he's going to pick you up and say, no, get up. Look at me. Get the head up. I took care of it all. There's nothing to be ashamed of now. There's nothing to be afraid of because of the blessed dawn. We're going to close this morning with a special from one of our men, written by one of our women, Sue Welshans. I want to encourage you, as you hear this song called I Believe, I want to encourage you to listen carefully to the words of this song. It reminds us, this song does, of the struggle that the Apostle Thomas, you remember him? We have a tendency to call him Doubting Thomas, poor Thomas, and all those who are named after him. Doubting Thomas, this song reminds us about the Apostle Thomas and the struggle he went through to believe that Christ had really risen from the dead. My challenge to us this morning is this. Let's not be like Thomas. And by that I mean in the sense that we have to see to believe. We're not those kind of followers. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. We have not seen the risen Savior with our own eyes. But we believe anyway. We believe anyway because God has said it." One line in this song goes on to say this, "Lord, I want to trust you when my eyes can't see. You are the one true God. I will testify." So enjoy this song and listen to the words as Frank shares it with us.
I did not see you, I was full of fear. I could not believe you until you appeared. I saw the wound and scars in your hands and side as you stood before me, very much alive. Death and won the victory. At your name, Lord Jesus, every knee will bow. Praise your name forever and lay down our crowns. One day the whole world will see. I believe. I saw your nail scars, doubt turned to belief. Lord, I want to trust you when my eyes can't see. You are the one true God, I will testify. I have seen your glory with unblinded eyes. I believe. We'll see your nail-scarred hands, the glorious risen Lamb. One day the whole world will see. I believe, Lord, I believe. You died for all our sin on Calvary. Lord, I believe you conquered death and won the victory. At your name, Lord Jesus, every knee will bow. Praise your name forever and lay down our crowns. One day the whole world will see. I believe, I believe, I believe.
Thank you, Sue, for writing that song, and Frank for singing. I hope that's the prayer of your heart. I believe, even though we haven't seen, we believe. May that be our testimony this morning as we go our ways to spend time with family and friends on this special day that we call Easter. Before I close in prayer, I just want to extend an invitation to all the widows who are here in our midst this morning. We want to honor you, if we possibly can. By after the service, would you please come up to the front here and grab one of these flowers that we have placed here for the service? We would really appreciate it if you would take it home and have it in your house as just a little token of our thoughts of you on this day. Let's thank the Lord for what he's done for us, and then let's go enjoy the rest of this day in celebration of what he did for us. Lord, we thank you for all that we've seen and heard this morning. The reminders of what happened now around 2,000 years ago on the morning that we call Easter. After you had died on the cross as a lamb with a capital L, the Lamb of God, dying and taking the wrath for the sins of the world. And thank you that you told us that we just read in John chapter 3 that if we will believe what you're telling us about what your Son did for us, that if we will put our faith and trust, our belief in that, that we will be acceptable to you. And that even though this body may perish, the real us will go to be with you for all of eternity. Lord, we think at a time like this of the many friends right here from our church that in these last many years have done that very thing, have passed away having put their trust in your Son, and that we know they are there enjoying that life that you talked about, the life that you said you would give all those who believe. We look forward to our reunion all together someday when we all gather with you, enjoying the life that you died to give us. Be with us now as we go to be with family and friends, as we celebrate the rest of this day, what you did for us on that blessed dawn many, many years ago. Thank you now for this time together. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed. There's no...